Thank you, Rabbi. I'm very happy to be here this morning. And I have come with a wonderful couple. These people have been a blessing to me for a long time. When you see my face, I'm putting on these glasses because of what happened to me. I almost died. But this couple saw me before. We met around 12 years ago in my country, Uganda. And they are American, but they had come to Uganda to preach the gospel of Yeshua. And they came to my church, they came to my home. We ate some African food together. Can you please, my friend Chris and Nancy, can you stand on your feet and these people see you? They have been a blessing to me for a long time, and they are a reason why I'm here, because Nancy is connected to our friend Doug, and we want to thank you very much for connecting us to the rabbi. And I told Rabbi, I'm black African man, but I'm Jewish at heart. That's why when you hear my story, you're going to know that I'm more Jewish at heart. And I'm very glad that I have a Jewish savior. My savior is Jewish. I have a Jewish man who saved me, and I have a Jewish country that saved my body. So Israel has saved me twice, the Jewish man and the Jewish people. Because of what happened to me, like as I'm going to share with you, basically my testimony is going to be in a message of today is going to be a testimony. You know, Yeshua told us in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 and verse 8 that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So I stand here to witness the goodness and the power of Yeshua and all the good things that he has done in my life. And we live in a time whereby truth is at scarcity. People today, they don't want truth. But let me tell you, followers of Yeshua, John chapter 8 and verse 32, Yeshua told us that actually this is a verse about the Jews. In John chapter 8, verse 31, the verses say, and Yeshua told the Jews who had believed in him that if you continue in my words, you shall be my disciples indeed. He was addressing the Jews. And he told them on verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Today, when you speak the truth, you get to be hated. That's why today, lies are more promoted than truth. But I'm here to speak some truth. And I will appreciate if you follow me or listen to me very closely. To begin with, I am called Pastor Uma Mulinde, the Senior Pastor of Gospel Life Church International, based in Kampala, Uganda. But the things that have happened to me and the way I have survived them is another testimony that the God we serve, the Holy One of Israel, is Almighty God. I was a Muslim, born and raised in a staunch Muslim family. Both my parents were staunch Muslims, and my grandfather was a famous imam. Imam means a Muslim leader. I think some of you may know this. Of a mosque that was built at my father's compound. My father built a mosque, and my grandfather was the imam of that mosque. I studied Islamic theology, trained to be a sheikh, Islamic scholar, well-versed in the Quran and Islamic teachings. My grandfather taught me to recite the Quran. I can recite the Quran from cover to cover in Arabic. And I later grew up to become a Muslim propagator. And currently I'm married to one Evelyn, beautiful lady. And I have only 7 biological children. Only 7. I have only 7. But the theology of Islam had taught me to hate Israel and the Jewish people. It's in the book. You know, these are the facts that the world should know. In the Quran, chapter 5 and verse 51, I can read it in Arabic, but today is Shabbat. In English, it says, "O you who believe," meaning the Muslims, "never make a Jew or a Christian to be your friend." That is the root cause of the Arab-Muslim-Israeli Middle East conflict. It's not all about land. It's not all about politics. I appeal to you, Jews who are in America, don't hate your country for no good reason. Love Israel. Love your land. Some people think that when you give land for peace, people will give you peace. That's not true. The root cause is not land. The root cause is hatred. I was an African man in the jungles of Africa, in Uganda. I'm born in Uganda, Africa. But I had hated Israel and the Jewish people. Because the verse says, "Never make a Jew or a Christian to be your friend." I was in Israel and I told my Israeli friends that if you think that you can give them land for peace, look at what happened to what they call West Bank. To you, you call it West Bank. But to me, as a Bible believer, that is Judea and Samaria, a Jewish land. But because of politics, they gave it out. What happened? Is there peace in Judea and Samaria? Is there a government? And then General Sharon, was convinced by friends from America that when you give Gaza, this time there will be peace. Only this time, give Gaza. And he gave Gaza. Do we have peace out of Gaza? What happened? Rockets. And now they are saying, give East Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. When you give East Jerusalem, they will demand West Jerusalem. You give West Jerusalem, they demand Tel Aviv. You give Tel Aviv, they will demand New York. Take New York, Washington, they will go to Italy and demand Rome. The idea is not land. The idea is hatred. But I thank the grace of Yeshua that when I got converted from Islam and I came to faith in Yeshua, I began to love the Jewish people. Because whenever you could open the Bible, I see God of Israel, God of Israel, God of Israel. And I chose to love what God loves. Today, I am a pro-Israeli international public speaker. And I thank God for that. Thank you. I never thought of becoming a believer in Yeshua because in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 157 up to 158, and chapter 112, Islam teaches that Yeshua was not a son of God. It rejects his death and resurrection, and that Allah, the Islamic God, does not have a son, and that Yeshua did not die and did not rise from the dead. You know, those two things, I just pointed out those two, because those are fundamental Bible truth. If you reject them, that means there is no way you can be a believer in Yeshua. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, that if Yeshua was not crucified and subsequently resurrected from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is also in vain. In John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 21 to 23, we read that he is Messiah who denies the Father and the Son. Again, that 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5 says, who overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? So the issue of Yeshua being a Son of God is not debatable. The death and the resurrection of Yeshua on the cross is not a matter of debate. We cannot even debate about it. It's either true, believe it or leave it. So I want to tell you that currently, that's why you find that where there is many people believing in Yeshua and Jews, you find that the Muslims will persecute those people. Why? Because it's a clash of doctrine. It's a clash of ideology. It's not a matter of discrimination, but it's a matter of theological clash and differences in worship. This hatred is the main cause of the Middle East conflict between Israeli and the Arab Muslims, and the basis is religious hatred, not land and politics, as I have told you. So there is a need for people, especially in the Western world, America, Europe, there is a need to correct the wrong perception regarding the root cause of terrorism and Muslim extremism. Some believe that Islamic extremism is caused by discrimination, poverty, or solving some issues of political imbalance. But as an ex-Muslim, I want to reveal to you that Islamic radicalization is caused by the ideology of establishing the world empire. If I have time and if I make this a lecture, I can give you 100 verses on this matter in this very Muslim book, that the root cause of Islamic extremism is the ideology that they harbor, that they want to turn the whole world Muslim. There is this desire to conquer all religions and democratic systems in order to establish Islamic Sharia law all over the world. The Western world is unfamiliar with this ideology. That's why many fear to identify in these terms, fearing of being termed anti-Muslim or Islamophobic. And this sentiment, the Islamists cleverly play. Because whenever you want to say something, why you do this, they say, oh, Islamophobia, oh, Islamophobia. But we must ask ourselves this question. If Islam is a religion of peace, why is it that the Middle Eastern region where Islam is most practiced is the most violent troubled region on the planet Earth. I have been to most of those countries in the Middle East. But it's only Israel, only one country, which is democratic. And you find people, actually, where you find a Jew and Arab on the same street. But amazingly, it's only Israel that everybody's hating and are choosing of being a wrong country. So, as I read the Quran myself, I found many verses that advocate for extreme violence against the infidels. The infidels are the non-Muslims. Hundreds of verses commanding extreme violence, mass murder, torture, and slaughtering, not in self-defense, but punishing non-Muslims, claiming that all human beings who refuse to convert to Islam, they have declared a war on Islam. There are very many verses, and I've written books about this. Chapters that instruct them to strike terror into the hearts of non-Muslims by cutting off their heads and fingertips and many other horrific things that they command. When you look at my face, I was one of the beautiful, typical African men. That the couple I came with, they have my picture before I looked like this. When you visit them, ask them, give me this picture of this wonderful, typical, beautiful African guy. But look at my face. My face was disfigured by Muslim extremists. Why? Because in the Quran chapter 22 and verse 19 to 22, it instructs them to pour over non-Muslims' heads boiling water or very hot substances. That's why they poured acid on my face. And this is in a book. God's power helped me to overcome this. You know, I was coming out of the church after preaching a wonderful message. But because I converted, because I lead other Muslims to Christ, to believe Yeshua, to believe Messiah, peacefully, I don't have weapons. I don't use weapons. I use love. I help them. I was coming out of the congregation, and what happened? People ambushed me out of my congregation, and they said, "Hey, Pastor, can you help me?" When I was turning, I realized they are wrong people. I wanted to turn to enter the vehicle. All I heard, the man splashed and poured a bucket of acid on my face. And they shouted, "Allahu Akbar." Acid burnt me severely. Acid burns more than fire. In Africa, we use acid to test between metal and gold. Where I'm born, we have gold mines. So whatever somebody claims to be gold, you get it. Any metal somebody is claiming to be gold, you get it and put it into acid. Any metal that is not gold, if you put it into acid, it will dissolve. Acid dissolves metals. Just imagine, if acid dissolves metals, what can happen if it's put on human skin? My skin began to peel off. Acid developed a deep, caused a deep wound from here up to here. This skin was going down and this one was going up. You could see whatever is inside. My face, wherever you touch, the skin was peeling off and falling away. My people in Uganda tried their best to take me to the hospitals. The situation was worsening. They took me to India. I was dying in India. When I reached in India, the doctor said, I have 99 chances to die. And I said, if God wants me to die, what can I do? I'm going to die, but I will not die complaining. And I said, God, if you want me to live, I'm going to cling on this 1%. Ladies and gentlemen, I cling on 1%. And if you see me talking today, just know, 1% with Yeshua is better than the majority. Thank you. When everything was turning against me in India, that's when my story was put in papers. When they attacked me, I had sent blast emails around the world. During those days, that was 2011, but for the past years, I was taking groups of people to Israel, because I told you I began loving Israel as a pastor, and then I was leading pastors and groups and taking to Israel, and I had made some Israel friends. And that's when my Israel friends heard that I am attacked. And they wanted to help me. They connected with different people. But you know, if you are an African person from a third world country, you cannot get a visa of a modern country from another modern country. Some of you, you don't have a visa problem, so you don't know what what I'm talking about. For me to get an American visa is a great miracle. But again, to get it in Uganda is a different thing, but to get it in another country is a different thing. So I was in India, and I wanted to go to Israel. Israel is a modern country. There was no way I could get the visa. And I'm dying any time. These people have said I have few chances to live. Then one of my Israeli friend, to tell you the truth, he is not a Christian. He's not messianic. Just a Jewish person. Not even a believer in Yeshua, but a Jewish person. He's my friend. And I said, we have to help this pastor. I was very glad. You know, when you serve Yeshua, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this word of God we have in this book is a living word. I say it's a living word. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, the Holy One of Israel said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. I am a fulfillment of that scripture. Many people have been burnt with acid in Africa and they die. But because I chose to teach my African people to love Israel, guess what happened? When I was in India, my Christian friends in Uganda, my other people, including my church, they had no way they can help me. And somebody who is not even a messianic believer came in and stood in the gap. And what happened? Every door was closed for me. There was no way I could go to Israel from India. Yet they wanted to save my life. And there was a connection in Jerusalem. This person from was a Jewish person from America who had known me. Now he wants to help me. Actually, she had never seen me before. She had just read what I wrote. She read my book,
but she had never seen me before. She heard about me. Somebody told her about me when I visited Jerusalem and presented my testimony and then said, send me that literature. She read about this and she got in love with me. She had never seen me before. Now she's touched to help me. And now the doors are closed in India. Guess what happened? She contacted a rabbi in Jerusalem. And the rabbi tried to help me. And the doors were closed. And the rabbi contacted the prime minister's office. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu intervened and told the Minister of Foreign Affairs. And the Minister of Foreign Affairs intervened. And Umar Mulinde was taken to Israel for treatment. I will bless those who bless you. When I went there, it's very expensive to be treated in Sheba, Tereshomel, in Israel. I ended up in Sheba. Guess what happened? When I reached there, I had no bill. They said, you are a special guest of the state of Israel, and you're going to be treated here free of charge. I didn't pay a coin. I stand here to thank you, all Jewish people in this congregation, thank you for saving my life. I could have been a dead person by now, but my life was saved by Jewish people and Israeli doctors. With the prayers of the saints around the world, the Israeli expertise succeeded to cover up here. Here, I had no neck. The neck had gone. They succeeded to cover up here. They succeeded to get skin implant and transplant, and they put on my face. That's why I am alive today. And I bless Yeshua for this. And I thank you. Thank you very much. The reason they were killing me is because someone who lives Islam is considered by Muslims to be a traitor. And according to Sharia law, this sin of apostasy, leaving the faith, must be punished by death. In Uganda, we don't have laws criminalizing apostasy, but many Muslims still feel strongly that this is a sin and must be punished by death. In Uganda, sometimes converts from Islam disappear and are mysteriously killed by armed extremists or by their own family for bringing shame to them. Converts are thrown out of their family or jobs. Their husbands or wives or children are taken away, and some are severely beaten or even killed. For some years after I converted, I have survived over 12 assassination attempts, including bombs, including poison. It has been the grace of God to see me alive today. And I stand here as a testimony that the God we serve is a mighty God. I want to wind up by encouraging you. If you have any challenge of life today, don't think that you own your life. God owns your life. And nothing will kill you before your time. One thing we should know, that there is a challenge today. People are not interested in truth. But let us be agents of truth. And let us know that there is a hatred against God. And we must serve as ambassadors of the living God. And tell the world what they don't want to hear. Because they will not accept us freely. We have gone back to the time where speaking the truth is costly. If you are not ready to lose anything, please don't claim to be a believer. Can you help me to tell a neighbor like that? Please tell somebody that if you are not ready to lose anything, tell somebody if you want. Don't claim to be a believer. They will reject you. I've been working in America, and I've seen that even in America, persecution is beginning. And people today are trying to be politically correct. May I tell you something? Yeshua was not politically correct. So, leave political correctness to politicians and other people. We're going to be like Yeshua. He told the Pharisees, "You beating me because I have told you the truth?" That means he was a man of truth. And he told us to spread the truth. When I was discharged from hospital, I went back to Uganda. But unfortunately, the extremists continued to threaten me. And they tried to attack me again. They entered my home with weapons. I had got bodyguards through my friends. But one of their friends was a government official who helped me to get the bodyguards, armed bodyguards. After a short while, was poisoned and was killed. There was another one who was Assistant Inspector General of Police, was also my friend, was brutally assassinated with 27 gunshots in broad daylight. 27 shots in one body of a man. So, since my wife and children, they did not have the same protection as me, they all had to go into hiding. We were particularly worried because someone tried to kidnap my son. I have two wonderful boys with Jewish names. These boys were born on the same day. Twin boys. And I named them Joshua and Caleb. When I was in Israel, they are among the only few Ugandans who have studied in Israel. I took them when I was in the hospital and they were studying kindergarten in Israel. It was a blessing to me. But when we went back to Uganda, a Muslim man, grabbed the hand of my boy and was kidnapping my boy. Tactfully, the boy beat the hand and screamed and got the attention of other people and succeeded to slip out of the hands of this man. So we realized that it's danger. We took our children into boarding schools. And currently, I want you to pray for me because for some good time, I don't stay with my family in one room. We stay separately. And late 2018, terrorists succeeded in breaking into my home at night. This happened even though I had two armed bodyguards. They were police, trained police officers to protect me. I was in the home at a time, but I narrowly escaped. Surprisingly, the bodyguards did not intervene and later on claimed that they had been sleeping. I believe this must have been collusion between the police and terrorists. Less than a month, they came back to my home. Luckily, that night, I had stayed away from that address. God helped me to successfully flee, and I was able to come to the United States. In my conclusion, I want to request you to pray for me. Currently, I'm in the process to get required papers and funds to bring my family to the United States of America. How many people support me in that? You know, as a parent, if you come to kill me, I have no problem. Kill me. But if you mess with my children, really, you are messing with the wrong button. So I cannot allow them to kill my children. If they want, they better kill me, but not my children. But now they are not only targeting me, They are also targeting my family. And I'm trying to help my family to come to the U.S. to save them from danger. Currently, I'm in the U.S. trying to share this important message. And I'm not doing anything. I'm not working, but spreading this testimony. Pray for me, for God to enable me to maintain my travels and bills and support my family and the congregation of the work of God in Africa. Please pray for the congregation that the Lord will continue to encourage them in my absence. I continue to oversee the work of God in Uganda, and we are in constant communication. Our congregation is having a safe center, taking care of other persecuted ex-Muslims. In my congregation, 35% of our members are ex-Muslims. They have converted and they love the Lord, but they get persecuted, and we now establish a center to take care of them. I have shared in summary regarding my testimony, but I have written in details this testimony in books. Today is Shabbat, but Rabbi will guide on how we're going to do. Normally what I do on Shabbat, we can go on the desk and register those people who want the books, and I give them the website to pay, or we get somebody in a congregation who can correct the funds and send after Shabbat, or somebody will take a book and pay. But the books, I came with them, and these are the books. This is my conversion from Islam to Christianity. It talks about the ideology of Islam and how we can reach the Muslims and change them to Yeshua. And this one gives us the tips of different things you can do and say in order to reach the Muslims with the gospel of Yeshua. I want to thank you for listening to me. I'll give you my website when you meet me after the service. It has been a pleasure to talk to you. In my books, books have testimony of my miraculous conversion, verses of the Bible and the Quran explaining effective strategies of outreach, insight regarding persecution of believers, and understanding the Muslim secret agenda of establishing a world empire, and many other things. Also, my website has some videos. Others were recorded in Israel, elaborating and explaining more about my story. I thank you, Rabbi, for this opportunity. Thank you, Dak. Thank you, all the elders. Thank you, Nancy and Chris, for bringing me here. And all of you, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much. Shalom.